Okay, I am going to speak this morning. What it started off with is our daughter's birthday, and I was just curious. I knew something significant happened on our daughter's birthday, and I was thinking it was the founding of Israel. Of course, that wasn't until the 14th, was it? 14th of May. It just fitted in this whole idea of victory. There were a few other things that happened on this date. In 1980, the World Health Organization. Anybody know what happened on this date then? Say again? Nope. I'm just trying to rummage through your brain. It was they declared that smallpox had been eradicated. Okay. Smallpox had been eradicated. What's interesting to note is that there are laboratories around the world where it lives on. And they keep it in there. Yeah, just so it can escape, like Wuhan or something like that. But there we go. It was eradicated from the population. In 2007, interestingly enough, the DUP, the Democratic Ulster Party, Unionist Party, they formed an alliance with Sinn Féin, and which is very interesting because if you ever came across Dr. Ian Paisley, he didn't get on too well with Sinn Féin in the beginning, and he's a reverend. He was a reverend. He's gone home to glory now. But he was he's a minister, Presbyterian minister in Belfast, whose church was filled every week. And this guy was really a fire and brimstone guy, but the place was absolutely filled. And so he was the head of the DUP, and he humbled himself to actually form an alliance with Sinn Féin. Who, you know, were totally the opposite side of the sort of political spectrum, but also religious. They were Catholics. He's Protestant. Today, Sinn Féin are the lead party now in Northern Ireland. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens going forward. We've got friends who live out there ourselves. Interesting to see what their take on this is. But we need to be praying for those people. They are the most, I would say, Christian spiritual people left in this country, the Northern Irish. I didn't used to like them very much because their accent is an awful accent. Very harsh. Unlike the soft south now. We do. It's good. In County Bray, you know, you go down there and you speak like this. It's very nice. But, you know, I actually really come to love the Northern Irish as godly people. Not all of them, of course, but overall they seem to have that sense of God much more so than we in the rest of the United Kingdom. Okay. In this day in 1945, peace or victory was announced in Europe, as we've talked about a few moments ago. But who knows that the war isn't over yet. The war isn't over yet. Of course, I'm talking about a different war. I'm talking about the war in the heavenly realm. The victory has been proclaimed, but the devil hasn't surrendered. He's still fighting. He's still fighting. There's been cases of people who've been on Japanese islands many, many years after the end of the Second World War, and they still think the war's going on. And the Allies have gone in there, and they've, even though the war's finished and the Japanese surrendered, they're still fighting. And so what we've actually got is a bit of a dichotomy here. We've got people who don't know that the victory's been won. People who don't know that Jesus has won the victory. And then on the other hand, we've got people who think it's over and they've given up fighting. And what we're talking about, of course, is that what's going on in the heavenly realms. Jesus rose victorious and declared all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But then he said, go. Go and herald the good news. And they did go. They didn't go originally. In fact, they wouldn't leave Jerusalem. He did say, start at Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria. Can you hear me all right? Oh, good. I don't need. Anybody need me to use the mic?
No.
No. Okay. Start at Jerusalem, go to Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We listen to, thank you, Neil. We listen to the video, the Samaritan. We watched the video about the Samaritan woman. That woman who I love her attitude. She really didn't, you know, she was like Nathaniel, wasn't she? She said it as it was. She spoke, she preached from the hip. Do you need something? Okay. There was one. I don't think we've got one in my bag. My cases. Anyway. And so, the Samaritan, Jesus went to her and he converted. She believed when, of course, he exercised a word of knowledge. And by the way, a word of knowledge is a very powerful tool, folks. You know, I've sometimes been, I've failed in this. I was talking about this week. I've been talking to somebody I've never met before, and the Lord said to me their name. And then I've asked them what the name was, and it's the same name the Lord gave me. But it's not the same as if I turn around and say, I knew that. If I'd have said it, and by the way, you can be clever about it. You don't have to be really stupid and say, now your name is Esther.
No, it's not. It's
And then that person says, oh yeah, oh you know that, or God told me. Well, actually it isn't. So you say, is your name Esther? You say,
yes.
No, it isn't. Do you know what? I don't know why, but I had this, a bit cowardly perhaps, but sensible. You don't want people to think you're a complete nutter, do you, if you get it wrong. But if you get it right, there's power in it, isn't there? There is power, isn't there? You know, you can say somebody's name, and the Holy Spirit will reveal those things to you. And I suppose the more you hear clearly from the Holy Spirit, the more bold you can be in making that proclamation. But if you do it too boldly, Neil, and get it wrong, you'll lose confidence to do it again. Don't do it. Don't do it that way.
I nearly did it, but that person I witnessed to, I couldn't remember his name. I said, Lord, if you give me his name, I'll go and see him. But he didn't give me his name.
Okay, you're in the clear.
And his wife called him down from the stairs and said, Jack!
And you said to him, your name's Jack, isn't it? Okay. For this purpose, Christ was revealed to destroy all the works of the evil one, as we've sung. And it's now our responsibility to herald the victory for the people and to enforce the victory in the spirit realm. Jesus said to Peter, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That isn't putting people in prison, folks. I know that that's sometimes what's happened in his name. Right? I'm sure there is somewhere around here where they've got cross keys. We've got a checker in Salisbury, cross keys checker. And the cross keys are what you often see alongside the papal stuff. And it's that the Pope is a descendant of Peter, and he's got the power to bind in the loose, and it's being used, but not spiritually. It's being used carnally, if you like. It's been used to put people in prison and worse. But Jesus gave the authority to the church. He gave you and I authority. And if we don't exercise that authority, things won't change. Things won't change. So firstly, we need to know and believe that we have been given that authority. And there are times when we do things in secret, in the secret place, in our closets, as the Bible says, or bedroom or utility room, whatever it is that you go to do business with the Lord. And there are those times. So sometimes we need to do those things in the spirit, then in secret, but then they also need to be worked out in full sight. And you can tell, because when demons manifest, they can't sometimes control themselves. And they'll manifest through people. And you think, hello, hello, we've got a demon here. And some people get scared by that, but we don't need to be scared, brothers and sisters. We don't need to be scared. If Jesus wasn't scared of a guy with 1,000 legion, and not only that, but the supernatural strength that this man had, he could break chains. He was naked, they couldn't control him. Just remember, though, what had Jesus done to get there? He'd spoken to the wind and the waves. And they got, boom, it went flat calm. And they said, what sort of man is this? That even the wind and the waves, was that where the power was? Or was it setting free the man who'd been bound by demon spirits? What's more important? Well, as far as the disciples were concerned, at first anyway, it was, Lord, don't you care that we perish? What a thing to say to Jesus. Don't you care? Don't you care less? But they were scared. They were scared. So, how do we enforce that victory? Well, let me read what Ephesians 3:10 says. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, or might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Therefore I desire that you faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul is declaring to the church in Ephesus that by the church, we declare to the principalities and powers God's purposes. Amen? During these conventions, and Ruth will know this, she's been to many, I'm sure, over the years with the AOG conferences, you know, you can get all caught up in the moment, and there was 1,700 people there and lots of noise and so on. And to be honest, it was exhausting. It's exhausting because you're on your feet. By the way, I did like one thing. I think it's the church up in Manchester, Audacious, where the guy who's the lead pastor, he came to the door to meet everybody. He's the guy in charge of AOGGB, Great Britain. And he sort of shot me by hand, and I said, it's Greg, isn't it? It's Glyn. I got his name wrong. I had read it somewhere. It was Glyn Barrett, but it was Greg. But he's brought with him a sort of a whole bunch of people from his fellowship, right? I didn't know what they were to start off with. And they were sat right at the front of the auditorium on the right-hand side. And whenever the preacher said something good, they all stood up. Hello? Now, there's one of two reasons that you're not standing up. I haven't said anything good, or you haven't quite got the revelation. But they kept standing up all the way through for 3 days. It was like being in an Anglican church. Sit down, stand up, sit down. They stood up. 5 seconds later, they sat down. And yes, it was a bit weird. But actually, they went. I don't think they were acknowledging the speakers, acknowledging what the speaker was saying. And if we believe some, and I'm, by the way, I'm not suggesting you do that. If you want to, you can. I don't mind. But it is sometimes good to do something demonstrative to acknowledge. You know, if the preaching's boring, say, come on, preacher, preach it. Get in the spirit. That's what the black churches do. Some of them, right? They do. They encourage the preacher to preach. And America as well. They do it in the States, especially in the black churches. In the come on, preach it, and actually sucking out of the preacher. You know, Jesus said when the woman touched him, "Who's touched me?" Yeah. What do you mean, who's touched you? Everyone's touching you. Ah, but not everybody's got the discharge of power into their body like she got. Hallelujah! She got her healing. She spent all her money on things that hadn't worked. She was sicker than when she started and broke. And she just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And then she came and fell before him. It's me. She confessed. She wasn't ashamed. She was whole. And Jesus said, what did he say? Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen? Amen. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Your faith has provided you. Go in peace. But how about this? Your faith has healed your sick relative or your friend or your neighbor. Go in peace. You know, that's quite a good name, isn't it? Apparently, the Archbishop of Canterbury met Glyn Barrett and said, "So what's the name of your fellowship?" He said, "Audacious." And apparently the Archbishop turned around and said, "Well, that's a bit presumptuous, isn't it?" He said, "Well, not as much as yours, the Church of England." I thought it was quite funny. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. So what is our individual responsibility? Well, and as a fellowship, and you know, we are a fellowship. And one thing they did say, which is quite encouraging, was that, you know, we're not trying to build mega churches here. They're not trying to encourage people that big is good. And it's right, it isn't. Right? I think we have an intimacy, we have a fellowship here. The bigger you get, the less. I know you all to a certain extent. You know me. Well, the bigger you get, the less of that. And I'm not saying that we don't want to grow. We do want to grow. But maybe what we do when we grow, and this is something that we have never talked about ever, as far as I know, then we plant out. We plant out. It might be in a little hamlet. It could be in Coombe Bissett. You know, there's a village there. How many people live in Coombe Bissett? A couple of hundred people? There's a building out there. It's not being used. Glenda's kept it going for goodness knows how many years. By faith, I suspect. Faith or stupidity? Which one is it? Hallelujah. To him who's able to do exceeding abundantly. Let's start to believe that. Let's make the rest of our lives the focus about to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what? To what he's deposited in us. His mighty power, which he's placed in us, the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen? Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God, to just walk with him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more when I'm not there in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See how this works nicely with Micah? To walk humbly with our God, to love mercy, to do justly, that is the same. That is working out our salvation, isn't it? With fear. What fear? Hey, what fear? Hello?
A reverent fear.
What's another name for that? The fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Yes. It's not a cringing fear. It's a delight to please him, and it is a sadness. It is heavy when we don't please him. It is God which worketh in you. It is God who works in you both to will, that's his desire, and to do, that is his action, of his good pleasure. Amen? He doesn't just have the desire, he's got the capacity to carry it out. Sometimes, you know, what did, who said it? Jesus. The spirit is willing, talking about them when they fell asleep, but the flesh is weak. But Jesus stayed awake for that hour. Could you not pray with me for 1 hour? There he was in heaviness. The whole world's sin was upon him. There he was in that garden, and he knew he had to make a decision, and that decision was for all mankind. And he said, at that desperate, he said, take this cup from me, yet, not my will, but your will be done. Thank God he said that last bit. Amen. And he suffered. And his disciples slept. They didn't have the ability. And sometimes if we find ourselves, we haven't got the ability to do something, maybe we need to be questioning why we're doing it. Are we doing God's will? Because if we are, with it will come the provision. When I sent you out without anything, did you lack anything? Nay, Lord, nothing. Nothing. They took nothing with them, and they didn't lack. Oh, glory be to God. He sends us out empty, but we return full. Amen? Whew. It says, God, which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, when what happens when things aren't working out the way we want? We start turning on one another. That's the natural thing to do. Blame culture. It's got to be somebody's fault.
Yeah, terrible.
And we do, and we tear each other apart, and it's not right. It's not what the Lord commanded. We see this amongst the disciples. They were a carnal lot. I want to sit next to him. So got mother involved. Have a word. When you go to heaven, do you think my boys can be there? What was the question? Are you willing to drink from the cup? Tell you what, this is a really stacked answer. Yep, okay, you can suffer, but I can't guarantee you're going to get the right place.
Yeah.
That's up to the Father. If in doubt, say now. Yorkshire, good, sounds like a good Yorkshire expression, that one, doesn't it? By the way, LPG is 30 pence a litre cheaper up in Harrogate than it is in down here. 30 pence a litre.
That's because it's closer to pipeline. I'm trying to find Yorkshire.
No, it's not at all Yorkshire. That's very, very bad.
I normally come out as Pakistani.
That's not Pakistani either. In fact, it's not Zimbabwe, Pakistani. I think you've lost your roots. You're confused. That you may be blameless and harmless. Harmless, wow. That's not a word you hear very often, is it? You know, he's harmless. He's harmless, he's no problem. But you know what? Harmless people can get in places nobody even notices they're there. There was a guy in the book of Judges, and he was left-handed. Like me. So what he did was he got into Eglon's, this rather large, nothing to do with you. I know I'm stood in front of you, but nothing to do with you. He got into Eglon's palace. And Eglon was a rather large gentleman. And he was the king, and he was a wicked king. But because, I can't remember the name of the judge.
Ehud,
thank you. Yeah, praise God. Tony's left a deposit, his wife. We'll talk about that later. Ehud went in, and he had, I guess he would have had the sword on, if he's left-handed, on this side. But they only searched on one side. And he said, I've got a message for you, Eglon, from the Lord. Oh, better go in somewhere private. So he went somewhere private, and Ehud stuck this knife in, and the whole thing went in, hilt and all. Right? And the dirt came out. And Eglon's boys, servants, they could smell the dirt that came out, and they thought he was on the loo. Meanwhile, Ehud hopped it out the window without his sword. He wasn't going in after that. But he was harmless. David, that was me spittling and doing things. When the Philistines heard about David that slew their champion Goliath, and they were going to kill David, so David feigned madness. Ah, he's harmless. Harmless. Hallelujah for harmless. God can use harmlessness. Amen? Yeah, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God uses the things which are nothing to bring to nothing the things that think there are something, folks. You may not have a very good self-esteem. You might think, you know, of yourself not more highly than you ought, but more lowly than you ought. It's not a problem sometimes for God. He just gives you a slap if you get too highly, if you're thinking too highly of yourself. The problem very often is not the highly, it's the lowly. Don't think of yourself lowly. Think of yourself as God thinks of you. And then, using subterfuge, the kingdom subterfuge, get into those places. Declare the glory. We had one of the speakers at this conference owns the house that Amy Winehouse's cousin lives in. I think that's right. Did. And the Lord spoke to this person and told him to go three times to speak to Amy Winehouse. And he didn't. Sorry, twice, and then the third time she was dead. He missed the opportunity. And he said how much he regrets not doing it. Because that woman, you know, died without, well, as far as we know, she died without the Lord. We've got to be ready instant. You may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Hallelujah. I don't know if it may have been more crooked and perverse than it has now. I don't think it's possible, but it might be. Because you see, crooked and perverse is not necessarily people killing each other and blood everywhere. Perverse means that it's not normal. In other words, what has always been regarded as normal is no longer normal. Or what is good is now called evil, and what is evil is now called good. And one of the things that came out, there was a doctor, a PhD doctor, who works in Oxford, and she's a lovely Christian woman, and she's got a high profile. She goes into the House of Parliament. She talks to lords and to the MPs and things about social issues, but from a Christian perspective. And she talked about this. I've recorded it. I've got to listen to it again and just take it all in. But what she was basically saying is this, that the more things that you've got that aren't normal, the more privileges and rights you've got in this generation. And let's face it, if you are a white 2.3 married male, Anglo-Saxon, there's no one representing you. I remember when I stood for Parliament, twice, failed, twice, miserably, twice. But I remember when I did it, that I said I wanted to represent the silent majority, the unrepresented majority. Democracy's got nothing to do with majorities at all. It's the total opposite. It's engineered skillfully. We talk about we're better off with a democracy than we are with an autocracy. Well, it depends who the autocrat is. If you've got a good autocrat, you're better off. If you've got a bad one, it's bad. But it's the same in democracies. Holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. Folks, The word of life is the thing that we're here to hold forth. The truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus. He is the word of life, right? Mm. And we hold him forth. We hold him forth both with what we say. We hold him forth by our lifestyles. Or your car registration, B13BLE. Right? Somebody noticed that it said Bible this week. Yeah. But of course, with that comes great responsibility. And Julian was driving my car yesterday, you know, with that number plate on there. He was all right, actually. I kept an eye on him. But we are holding forth the word of life. We're there to be ambassadors, standard bearers for the kingdom. I was reminded, because it's our daughter's birthday today, of the immense responsibility that we have as parents. As Christians and parents. Amen. We need to make sure that we are raising our children in the fear of God, in the right way. Because, well, Jesus said that it is better to have a millstone hung around your neck and to be thrown into a deep lake than cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, that doesn't mean that every child who's brought up in a Christian home is going to go on and serve God. That's obviously what we would want for our children. But that's not the point. It's if we say one thing and we live another, that's where the problem comes in. Don't lay burdens on people that they're unable to bear and not lift a hand to help them. That's what the Pharisees did. We don't want to do that. Let's just lead, even if it's quietly, by our example, by our lifestyle, even if our children have left home, or grandchildren, or great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Whatever it is, just live the life so that they can see the reality of the kingdom in our lives. Amen. It says in Proverbs 16:31, there you go, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I wash my hair when I was away. I do it when I'm home as well. But I was in this hotel and I didn't take any shampoo with me. And you've got these pump bottles in there. And you look on the label, and I'm not sure which one I should use.
Hair remover.
Well, I put the first one on and I put loads on it. I got in the shower, put it on my head. And my hand was sort of, it was so stripped of anything that it was stuck. I mean, not literally, I could have taken it away. But it was like, wow. It felt like Brillo pad, I suppose. So then I got the other one, and I give that about 20 stings, and I, excuse me, and I put it on, and I rubbed it in, and I washed it off. And you know what? I got out of that shower. I let it dry, and I brushed it. It was luxuriant. Listen, I only wash my hair normally every other day. I have to, because it goes greasy in 2 days. I washed it the next day just so that my wife could feel that luxuriant hair when I got home last night. I mean, even now, just feel that.
Oh, it is.
Oh, would you like to?
Do you want to feel mine, John?
Hang on.
There's one here.
Oh, yes. Good. Merry heart maketh like a medicine. Praise God. Let's laugh. Cry and laugh. Amen. In equal measures. Going grey is better than being blonde.
Hallelujah.
If we are found in the way of righteousness. It's not the hoary head. It's the in the way of righteousness. We need to walk in the way of righteousness. Amen. Oh, that's very interesting. I went from page 1 to page 3, and I just seamlessly went across, having missed out page 2. But I better speed things up. We've only got 45 minutes. Okay. Jesus said, except you be converted, just go back to being children again, and become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Right? We need to have that simplistic, trustworthy faith. Yeah. Whoever will shall receive one such child in my name receives me. So he's obviously talking about children, but he's also talking about this likeness, this. And children are a delight. We watched an episode of House. Anybody watch House here? Well, your name's Home, you've got to watch House, right? It's about a diagnostician played by Hugh Laurie, and he is a miserable old so-and-so, but he's brilliant at working out what people are dying of. And in the last episode we watched, there was a little boy, he was 6, was he? 6 years of age, and he was sick. Now, I know it's a thing on TV, and he was an actor, but it was just, and I'm sure you deal with this, sometimes children who are suffering, children in pain, they just still got that tranquility about them. They just take it on the chin, much better than we do, than I do. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about, for a few minutes, Victory Day today. And we're going to talk about victory in our hearts, in our souls, and also in our bodies. You see, when Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, most people will say, may God bless you, body, soul, and spirit. You heard that expression?
Yeah.
It's not biblical. It's not biblical. He never said that. When he wrote to the church, Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he said this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The order that Paul put it in was spirit, then soul, and then body. It wasn't body, soul, and spirit. Isn't that funny how things get turned around there? And why did the Lord put it in that order? Because I believe, of course, we need our bodies, but hey-ho, lose our bodies, absent from the body. present with the Lord. Lose your spirit, big deal. Yeah. Amen. It used to be the body beautiful. Who remembers that? Yeah, I see a few heads nodding here. Decades of being told to build up your body, tone up your muscles. I have a confession to make. I lost at arm wrestling this week. At last. Julian Downward slaughtered me. He didn't want to. He said, no chance. He slaughtered me. See, I'm 63, almost be able to sing a song. When I get older, losing my hair, many years ago. Oh, hang on. Will you be singing it? When I'm 64, it's not many years from now, it's 2 weeks. Make a note, 17th. That's it, 50 years on. But the point is, when I was a young man, I was pumped. Okay, my nickname was Chaz. Anyone heard of Charles Atlas? That was my nickname, because I was like, I built out. But now, my body is, I couldn't even break a wire with a pair of pliers a couple of weeks ago, because the arthritis in my fingers hurt so much, I couldn't squeeze the pliers. It's hard to accept, folks. 2 years ago, I was fit as a flea. And that's happened. But you know, the good thing is that we can compensate for that with our spiritual growth. We don't have to just fizzle out as wimps, but we can fizzle out as giants. In the face, not fizzle out either. Be glorified. Amen? So it's about putting things in the right order. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Multi-billions, maybe trillions, have been spent on gym memberships, spas, nails, hair, eyes, contacts, pedicures, manicures, and every other cures. Cosmetic surgery. For what purpose? 10 years at best? Yeah. It all comes back worse. But, as we've just said, now I've got to page 3. That was quick through page 2, wasn't it? The hoary head found in the way of righteousness is a crown. Hallelujah. Then we got to the age of the mind. She's happy. If she's happy, I'm happy. You stay happy. We're talking about you, not to you. I said, you're happy. I'm happy if you're happy. You were falling asleep. That's fine. That's okay. I wonder what people listen. If anyone listened to these messages online, I wonder what they think. Anyway, we get to the age of the mind. Everyone should now go to university, folks. Getting a degree is essential to life. The fact that it comes with a 40-year, lifelong, unconditional debt with compound interest, or should we call it a new form of taxation, and that people never actually get any benefit from getting these degrees in the first place. They do not use them because they're not vocational. We know you need a medical degree. We hope you've got a medical degree. Have you got a medical degree? I was listening to Pastor Agu talking about you go to the doctor and you pray. You pray that when you get there, the doctor will be there. And you pray that his certificates are real and they're not forged. This is on yesterday's message. So we believe you have the real medical degree. We believe in faith with you. No, we believe you are the real doctors. But the point I'm making is, folks, that unless you've got a reason to get a degree, a lot of people have been forced into that culture of go to university and end up. Listen, folks, if you've got young children who are going to go to university, young people to go to university to get a degree, make sure they're going there to get a degree that they need for their career. Because if they go there to do just a degree, all they're doing is they're going to get out of the safety and the protection of the environment in which they're in your home. They're going to go into a godless place where they're going to want to compete with every form of evil to be accepted by those people. who don't have any care for them whatsoever. And then what's left of them, you'll find on the thing, they'll walk away from God because they haven't got... If they go to university because they're going there for a reason, just make sure they're pumped up with Jesus and they're not doing... They're doing like David. When David saw Goliath, he thought, what should I do? Shall I circle round him? Shall I wait for him to come to me? Not a chance. He got his sling and he ran towards the Goliath and took him out. Why? Because he believed in his God. He knew he had a covenant with God, and he said to the devil, my dad's bigger than your dad. And he proved it. There's a difference. Our daughters didn't go. I have nothing against them going, but they're doing good in what God's called them to do. And they haven't got a 40-year debt shackled around their necks. Their husbands, similarly, God's blessing them. I'm not against education. I'm not against academia, though I might sound like I'm not. I believe it's good, but you can educate at home. My wife got a degree. She was 2 points short of a first, but she did okay, and that was working at home with me there to distract her for 6 years. What use has it been to you? Nothing whatsoever, you see. But you enjoyed doing it, didn't you, dear? And it was free, wasn't it? Yeah, there you go. A free degree. You've heard of the 3 degrees? Well, this is a free degree.
That's if you've got a lisp.
A lisp, yes. Okay, so we've heard about education and people going mindfulness. The idea that you can be anything that you want to be. And then the hard reality of going out into the world and finding it's not true. You know, this is what young people are told very often, that they can be what they want to be. And I don't mean just their jobs. They can be one minute, they can be a man, the next minute they can be a woman or female, whatever. They can be anything they want to be. They are their
own God.
Their own God. Trouble is, if you are God, you're responsible for your own life. Thank God we're not responsible for our own lives. Amen? When we fall, he'll pick us up. Well, give us the ability to get ourselves up. And if we still don't, he'll kick us up. Well, he did it. How many times did he turn around to people and say, get up? He turned around to Joshua. We heard about Joshua earlier. Get off your face. Joshua was saying, no, what are you doing? We brought us out of here and we're going to die. Look what's happened with AI. Well, get rid of the sin and you won't be defeated. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of the sin and you won't be defeated. Hallelujah. Sometimes we still have to do that. Even though the principle of sin has been broken of our lives, there may be things that the Lord's got to deal with and he'll give us a kick. Okay, almost there. But now we are living in the age of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The trouble is, spirituality is now a new phase. It's a new fad. I remember when I used to go up to Stonehenge in the 80s, and there you were there with all these hippie stroke new ages. And I went there to tell them, I was only been a Christian a year, and I was hungry to tell them about Jesus. I used to drive between Salisbury and Amesbury back and forth just to pick up hitchhikers. Where are you going? There's nowhere else to go. I'm going to Salisbury. So am I. Jump in. Where are you going? I'm going to Amesbury. So am I. Jump in. And you know what I discovered with the New Ages? Man, they're confused. They don't know what they believe. And two of them don't believe the same thing. It's a free religion. Free from any constraints. You believe what you want to believe, but it doesn't make it true, does it? There is truth, folks. And the devil's lie is, well, they can't all be right. No, they can't. But one can be. Amen? So what have you got? You've got earth worship. You've got self worship. You've got hypercriticalness. That's towards anyone who doesn't adopt the current zeitgeist, the current thinking of the age. We know that in the Garden of Eden, that the devil came in with his lies. God didn't say. Surely he didn't say. You will not be. And he contradicted the word of God. But he didn't just come in and say categorical black was white. He did it in a sly way. And he still does it in a sly way. He perverts the truth. That's why there are so many cults and sects. CTS. There are also well, there aren't, they call them genders, don't they? There's extra sexes as well. But you get the point. And it must be pretty difficult for people to work through the minefield of this stuff. But if they have got a heart, if they're seeking, I believe the Lord will, like he did with that woman at the well. Amen? She might have been an outcast, but not to Jesus. Hallelujah. She was the reason they went through Samaria. Well, initially. And then, of course, the town believed, not just because of her word, but they heard. And this is the challenge we've got. Listen, folks, I believe we can convince people by the Spirit of Jesus. We've got to get their ears, though. And they protect themselves with many layers of protection. Muzak, noise, their friends, there's cultural issues, there's all these things to keep them so they're not thinking. And they're not open to the gospel. We need God to give us the wisdom to cut through all that stuff. I mean, how do you keep people's attention now? I know when I go onto YouTube to look up something, I get a page presented with like 20 subjects on there, and they know what I look at, so therefore they're all relevant. Oh, that's got my interest. I won't watch that now. I'll save it for later. I've got a big watch later thing. It's a good strategy, by the way. Put it in watch later and never get round to looking at it. But at least you're not going to get distracted in what you went there for in the first place. Because otherwise the temptation is you click on it. It's only 7 minutes long. And then 17 minutes long. That's, wow, that's a good subject. And let's face it, it's called clickbait. You know what clickbait is? It's when people put stuff in front of you. It's not even true, just to get you to click on it so that you watch it and you waste your time. Time, folks, is precious. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I'm almost there. Excuse me. In the Garden of Eden, the devil came with his lies, and he's been doing it ever since. But we know, we've known that we are more than just a body, folks. We know as Christians that we have a mind, and we know that our very life is spiritual. We don't always feel it. We don't always experience it, but we know it because God's word tells us. And that is far more important than our experiences. What happens is if we go light, word light, we go experience heavy. And the danger with experience heavy is deceptions come with experiences sometimes. Whereas if we're God-centered in his word, we're protected. Amen? So let's do that. Let's keep ourselves as people of his word. Hallelujah. How many of us believe that if we don't, this could be a trick question, don't be too quick to answer. How many of us, that was nice, wasn't it, me saying that? I don't want to embarrass you. How many of us believe that if we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, then we will walk in the Spirit? Good, good response. None. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you see the difference between those two? It's not what you don't do. It's what you do that determines what you don't do.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit, the flesh is irrelevant. The more, if you're in the Spirit all the time, you're safe. The Holy Spirit, that is, of course. But the lie is, a bit like spirit, body, soul, and spirit, is don't, then you'll do. Folks, you'll never achieve the don't. Martin Luther tried it. He 7 hours a day. He prayed. His confessors, people who confessed to him, they were worn out listening to him. His boss said, look, come on, man. Find something, some real sin to confess to me. Not this stuff that you think if you haven't confessed that you must be full of pride because you haven't found anything to confess. And he did this 7 hours a day. But it says in Romans 8:4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not what we don't do, it's what we do that works. I remember once a young man I was involved with, discipling me years ago, I called him Stable Dave. He read the Bible through in 6 weeks from scratch. And he went a bit weird. He went off to YWAM, came back, told me he wanted to be a monk. And he ended up going to Sherborne. He's wearing this little brown habit, you know, novice's habit. And I went out with him. I went and we walked through Sherborne, and there was a lingerie shop, women's lingerie shop on the side. And I said, David, whatever you do, do not look to your left. I mean, poor bloke, you know, you to turn around to somebody and say, don't look to your left. What?
Yeah.
Ah. And it was reminding me that I was preparing this, that that's the sort of thing that happens is, you know, we try not to do things so often. But, you know, I think we can walk in that place where these things don't have any hold on us because we're experiencing the real world. Let's face it, as we've talked about earlier, you might have some Botox now, but give it a few months. It's gone. The effects of it have gone. Well, maybe you become Peter Cowell. Jesus will change him. Amen? Okay, almost there. Let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. Okay. If your eye offend you, don't forget, though, to pluck it out. It's better, and pluck it and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now, Jesus put that in there. But really, what he was doing is he was saying to people, you can't do this stuff. Folks, do we know this morning that we're not capable of doing God's stuff in our own strength?
Absolutely.
But do we also know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength?
Amen. Yeah.
So we just have to call upon him. Mm. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. We're at a new point, folks. I mean, I've just been to the national conference. I'm pumped. No. But we're going to move forward. But we are individuals, firstly. We're members of the body. We're bricks in the wall. We're rivets in the side of the Titanic, whatever metaphor you want to use. We need to make sure that we are individually walking with the Lord. We need to make sure that we're in the Spirit. We need to make sure that we're doing the walk in the walk as well as talking the talk. And I know I need to do that because you get judged more harshly, don't you? If you're presuming to tell other people what to do and not doing it yourself, that doesn't go down well with God, does it?
No.
So I know I've got my responsibility. So pray for me, will you?
Yes.
That I will, you know, get something right occasionally. That would be a good start, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You got something right 30 years ago.
I got something right 30 years ago. There you go.
You led me to the Lord.
I led you to the Lord. I don't remember that.
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Praise God. Well, you know, you're still here, kid. But grow. Okay, keep growing. We've all got to grow, and I don't mean just grow. All right, but let's sanctify ourselves. Set apart ourselves. That's what sanctify means. We are sanctified, but we sanctify ourselves. Sanctify ourselves unto the Lord, unto good, all-pleasing. And let's use the time that we have for the glory of his kingdom. Amen. Let's see his kingdom come. Let's get excited. Let's come here. I've only got a testimony. And there's hands all over the place shooting up. Oh, please. I mean, was it you, Faith? Yes, you came a few months ago. And you said, I want to share a testimony. No, you didn't. You said, I'm going to share a testimony on Sunday. Remember that? And couldn't keep her quiet. Couldn't keep her down because she had a testimony from the Lord. Our God had provided her with accommodation. And other people even were jealous. Why? Because she believed God and she's doing the right things. And she's now married. And now she's having 12 months off, according to the Bible. She stays in the... lock them away in the closet for 12 months and they'll get over it and they'll be back to normal. And then, no. Hallelujah. But seriously, let's do that. Let's use what we've got available and let God magnify it. Let him multiply it. Let him take a tiny little seed and make it a place where the birds can come and they can shelter under its boughs. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for our time together today. I do really sense that Your Spirit's been upon this word, upon our lives. We confess we can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ. Here we are, Lord. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods across the river, the Amorites, or the people in which land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be the cry of our hearts today, if we are individuals for our own lives, but if we are people in charge of leadership in houses, in homes, in ministry, whatever it is, Lord, may we be those who say, as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Coffee time. Coffee time. Hallelujah.